This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. So glad that you're here with us today because we want to talk about your story. All of us have a story. All of us have a purpose and a meaning for why we are here in life. And so often it's easy for us to discount it. Many of you, regardless of what your religious belief is, have heard said that the story of Jesus is the greatest story ever told. That's something we've all heard before, right? Well, here's the thing that we forget about with that story. The story isn't about Jesus. It's about you. Jesus didn't come because he needed to have, books written about him or paparazzi following him or any of the things that we seek after when we seek fame. He did it for one simple reason, and that's for you. That's the whole purpose of that story. And again, regardless of what you believe in, that's the point behind that story. And if you think about any good story, the purpose of that story is not to bring fame to the author, but rather it is for the reader. Fiction or nonfiction doesn't matter. The story is for the audience. Think about your favorite movie. You know, think about movies like Star Wars that have changed the face of movie history forever. They are only as impactful as the people who have watched them, enjoyed them, and had moments in their life because of them. And your story is every bit as impactful and important as that because you're the only one who can tell it. So today we want to talk about your story. And to help us do that, we've got three more exciting best-selling authors that are going to share with you their journey and their story to help you out. Life is anything but predictable. And yet often we are searching for the straight line, that point A to point B, as opposed to realizing that it's probably more like point A to B to C to, you know, all the way through Z and then repeat again. We want to talk about that today. And to do that, the author of the new book, The Straight Line, Mark Snelling, is going to talk to us a little bit about this concept. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
Doing good. So your book is called The Straight Line. Tell us a little bit about what you were thinking as you were coming up with this book.
I conceived this book after looking back on my own life. As a young man, I was fed society's picture of success, being able to get the education and then go to college and then get the job and then get the wife and then get the house and have kids, grow old, and die. That's how I looked at life, as this straight line of just hitting points. But not only was it about hitting those points, it was about hitting those points at the same time as my peer. So around the age of 20, I had to have certain things completed. 30, I would be having other things completed. But that view of life is just very exhausting. And it's very unfulfilled. And I wanted to write this book about my mistakes in this lifestyle and then also how I broke out of it. I wanted to go through life like it was some kind of formula. Let me hit all of these points. And if I put in 1 + 1, I'm going to get out 2.
So what did you discover as you were reflecting on it about how life really is?
Well, I found that life is very messy. It's not a formula. It's not something that you can put in things and it chugs out other things. Life throws all sorts of curveballs at you and you have to adapt. And from that adapting, you learn how you are. Like even me, I thought I would have everything figured out because as I was younger, I loved knowledge. I researched. I thought I had it all figured out because my parents told me things, and I would put two and two together, seeing how much other people succeeded at life when they had these pieces. And I thought, oh, if I just put those pieces in place like they did, then I will succeed at life. It's funny how we beat ourselves up for our failures and how we're so afraid of our failures, because those are what shape us. Those are what allows us to become who we are. And if we run away from that fact, like I did for so long, we never really find out who we are and what we really excel at. Life really is trial and error. Life is anything but a formula. And I also find it funny how we abhor failure. I hated failure. Even today, I still have to check myself when I beat myself up too much about failure, because a lot of the people we look up to did not conform to this straight line mentality of life. You know, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs, Martin Luther King Jr., a whole bunch of biblical figures, they did not live a life that you would say an average middle-class American would subscribe to. And of course, yes, that was the product of the times, but out of 7 billion people on this planet, no life will be the same. And so if they could take those failures and learn from them, why can't we open up our narrow worldview of what life is and just celebrate the fact of life and not subscribe to this very, very narrow worldview?
So what would be the number one thing you would encourage somebody who has deemed themselves to be a failure because they didn't follow this supposed straight line?
Three simple words. And the three simple words that keep me going in my life: just keep going. Failures are not the ending point. They're simply a point in your life where you're thinking, okay, this did not work. But I'm not dead. I haven't stopped living. Yes, it's disappointing at the time. Yes, it might seem to close some doors that you really wanted to go into, but life had literally thousands, if not millions, of other doors you can go into. So my best piece of advice would just be endure it, take the hit, learn from it, and keep going, because you never know what tomorrow will hold.
Absolutely. A great encouragement for us to really embrace trial and error, trying something, failing, and being okay to just reset and go forward. The book is called The Straight Line. It's by Mark Snelling, and it's available now on Amazon.com, soon to be our next best-selling book. Mark, thanks so much for spending some time with us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
The twists and turns in your life are there for a reason. They serve a purpose, and we want to help you share those with the world. We will be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book. which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Welcome back. You may be wondering, just how impactful can my story be? And I want you to know that 80%, that's right, 80% of Academy Award-winning movies are based on best-selling novels. And most of them are based off of real-life stories. So you really do need to share your message with the world so that you can help other people. I'm here today with Randy Becker, and we are talking about something that has just really, it's so exciting for me, and I hope that you as the listener will find it just as exciting. Most of us have had at least some thoughts of, you know, what could we do in entertainment, whether that be just be seen on your local media or, you know, you wanted to be famous like many of us wanted to as we were growing up. And Randy really brings to home just how not only practical that can be, but what you need to do if you want to really take that serious. And I really just want to take some time today and help some people who are thinking about the entertainment industry really have a breakthrough. So join with me in welcoming Randy Becker. Thanks for being here with us today, Randy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. I love what you're doing.
So, Randy, you've been in the entertainment industry for a little while. Tell us just a little bit about your background. What, how did it all start out for you?
Sure. A little while. 25 years. I have to admit, I'm an old man. All my life, all I ever wanted to do was be an actor. That's what I thought my life would be. And by the age of 24, I was on Broadway. We were starring on Broadway. We won the Tony Award for the play. We made a movie. All seemed to be heading in the right direction. But there was this sense when I got where I thought I wanted to be, for me, I just couldn't find the kind of meaning in it that I assumed it would be there. You know, I was on Broadway. I'd stand in front of this empty house before the show and try and feel what it meant to be on Broadway. And ultimately it was a play. I'd done 1,000 plays. We made the movie and exciting, but again, there was something much deeper that I was looking for. And so I started to make my own movies. And then ultimately, I connected with a guy who used to represent me, and we formed a company where we would represent writers, give them a chance to direct their own movies. We'd sell their stuff to their scripts to the studios and the networks, and then we'd take their passion projects and we'd raise independent capital and let them direct their own movies. I started that thinking I want to produce, and it's just about me and my creative endeavors. And what I found was my passion. My passion was ultimately about facilitating other people's dreams, and even more than that, getting these extraordinary artists' voices heard, because so many of them were sort of bogged down in this notion of here's what you're supposed to do as an artist, here's what you're not supposed to do, and a lot of that had to do with not really engaging in the business of the entertainment industry. I had to, because when I was selling scripts and television series and all that, and I have two kids, I was supporting my family, so I had to find a way to figure out a real systematic way to get material out, build relationships, and ultimately sell stuff, which meant that I had to take that whole artist moire and throw off this thing that business is dirty and all the things that a lot of artists feel and say, wait a second, we're all here to tell stories. What is the path for getting on the big screen or television? And that has been my passion, teaching artists how to do it themselves.
has been just an extraordinary journey for me and just so many of these great artists who otherwise would have gone unnoticed are taking their careers in their own hands. And it's just really moving to see these, I mean, just huge change agents and extraordinary voices finally getting heard. And that's what I'm about. Mm-hmm. And my company is Next TV Entertainment, which is we no longer represent writers and filmmakers. Now I consult and I produce and I really guide artists, writers and filmmakers and actors and executives and even entrepreneurs through the process of, you know, really finding that career that they want and executing in the real world of the entertainment industry.
Yeah, I wish that, you know, speaking about being an old man, 30 years ago when I was working in my band and things like that, I wish that a company like yours would have existed, or at least I would have known of them, that could have helped us understand that, yeah, everybody wants to be a jukebox hero, but, you know, those that really make it are the people that really do take it serious and have it as a business. And I really enjoy
it. I agree. Yeah. It was the same thing for me as an actor. I refused to believe that I had gotten lucky. I mean, I was prepared for the luck, but the reality was I got to the pinnacle at a very young age and had not gone through the process of building. And when it came time to leverage that success, I had no clue. I had no idea. And it was really like flailing around in the dark. And if there was a company like Next TV Entertainment then, who could have guided me and sort of opened the door to the industry and just sort of pulled back the curtain, you know, things would have been different. I don't regret it because I love what I do. And ultimately for me alone, acting did not have the kind of meaning I expect it to. But for so many others, it is their life and it is what they want to do. And in particular, writing and filmmaking as well. And so just sort of pulling back that curtain and becoming a colleague with the decision makers, that's the key. And yeah, I agree with you. It's just so such a revelation for artists when they realize that they can have control over their career.
Well, and I think that's true. Even if a person just wants to be the go-to expert, you know, we watch shows like Steve Harvey or, you know, back when Oprah still had a show, and we see somebody like a Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil come on and they're so insightful, you know, Susie Orman, so many of them. And a lot of people have aspirations towards that. And yet the same thing that you're saying applies. That is the business side of then doing what you do with brilliance is you got to know how to approach those people, and they're business owners. They're not just, you know, sitting at home flipping a coin going, who should we bring on the show today?
Exactly. And it goes up and down the line, whether it's a film festival or Steven Spielberg, when an artist sort of changes the mentality from, I have something that I want people to buy or I have something that I need something for and flips that and instead says, okay, what value can I bring to you? Here are the people I need in my network. How can I help you? How do I? And suddenly, like any business owner, like any person who is in a transaction of some kind, if you take that mentality, then you're going to build extraordinary relationships. You're going to actually really be able to soar in your career. And you'll get that work out there because you're finding the people who need it rather than looking for people who can help you. Everyone's, you know, self-interest is really what drives all of us in many ways, and that's fine. Just align your self-interest with the people you need in your network, and we have a happy relationship coming.
So I have a question for you. I've been actually sure. Kind of thinking about it ever since we started working on your book. You know, since, and I don't know, maybe even Kevin Smith's Clerks started it all off, but there is a lot of YouTube serial type of television shows and those kind of things. And I know that when I talk to people like that, they want to try to think that that's different. You know, we don't really deal with it the way that you would if you wanted to go to a studio. But is that really true, or whether you're going to be on, you know, Roku TV or you're going to be on HBO, is it really still just the same approach?
There is an inherent difference in the mechanics of it, meaning who's financing it, who owns the copyright. These are very big deals, very different. And then I'll get to that in a second. But when it comes down to it, it is ultimately about what you have, whether it's content or services or whatever it may be, who is there a need for it and who needs it, and how can you express in a compelling way that you have a solution to that need. And that, so that means when it comes down to it, content either works or it doesn't based on how well it connects to the audience for it. Now, there is a very big difference on network television and HBO and so on than YouTube. And that is, YouTube allows you to own your own copyright, which means you have to finance it yourself. And there can be all different models for financing a web series. It could be investment, it could be sponsorship, it could be, you know, Indiegogo, who knows what it is. On television, there are far fewer choices for financing that content because these networks are not looking at the money as being so important. They're looking at the model. They're saying, okay, whoever's going to finance this, and in many cases, the networks are not financing it. A studio would finance it. Well, how that brand is treated is going to be essential. And they are, if they're not financing it themselves, they're licensing the rights, basically, to put it on HBO. And yet the copyright is still owned by Fox TV Studios or whatever, or Lionsgate TV or whoever it may be, right? And they go out and then they sell it foreign, and they're able to sort of make back the money that they didn't quite get from the licensing. So how that brand is handled is hugely impactful for an HBO, and they just don't want anyone's money. They want people who, their deals in place, they understand already how it's going to be handled, and they have a history of work together. So that, just get out of the wonkiness. Basically, ultimately, finding the people who really connect to your message, both in the industry and the audience, that transcends medium. But in television, there's a very systematic way that you bring people on board in the same way any business that is looking for backers brings people on board, that demonstrates the value of it, that demonstrates that we don't just have a good script or good idea. We can do this for 5 years. And we can do this as a business that really makes sense week after week after week. I don't know if that was too circuitous in terms of the way I got to the answer, but sort of that's how I think of it.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And part of the reason why I brought it up is because video for business is huge now. I mean, you can't turn around without bumping into somebody that's reminding you that you should be using video in your business.
Yeah.
And yet I think the piece that really is missing out there is the fact that if you're going to start a video series, you need to take it seriously like you would the rest of your business. And part of the reason why I brought it up is because I think a lot of people, they start this YouTube TV show, and it runs for 3 or 4 episodes, and then they stop, or they do 5 or 6, and then they take 2 years off and do 5 or 6 more, And when you approach it like a real business, what can I do to have it weekly and regularly for the next 5 years? It makes a real difference in how you approach it. And what
it does. And it does. And also this assumption that, hey, online, anything goes is a false assumption. There are reasons why people watch things online that are as systematic as why people watch things on television. They're just different. It doesn't have to have high production value necessarily, but it has to be in keeping with how people watch content online. And so if you're trying to create videos for YouTube or for your business or in any way create media, the idea of just going at it and just, hey, let's turn the camera on and let's hope it goes viral is as silly as me going to Wall Street and saying, hey, I got a stock, let me go sell it. I wouldn't know the first thing about, I wouldn't know where the front door to Wall Street is, let alone how to, sell that thing. YouTube is, there are people who are very, very successful, millionaires, kids who are 20 years old that my son watches all day long, and there's people who get 200 hits on YouTube. And there's a reason, and what we do, is, and what you have to find out is, well, what are those reasons? Because luck is not it. That's not, you don't build a business on, boy, I sure hope it goes viral.
I really appreciate that, because I really think that there often is that thought of, you know, well, I just have to build a website and put out one video and then the whole world is going to know about me. And, you know, we run into that all the time.
You and the billion other videos that are out there every day, right?
I mean, you know, Kathy and I work all the time with authors, and it's not uncommon for us to hear, well, you know, this book that I'm writing, it would make a really great movie. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's a very good possibility. And you even shared with Kathy that, you know, these days the studios are looking for something that is a tried and true best-selling book. You know, those are some kind of things you can do, but
books are like gold for the studios and network. Books are probably the most relevant assets that you can bring to a studio, because they can package it how they want. There's a proven, there's an audience. But what you guys do in making people bestsellers, not only does it sort of back up my point that there is a system to getting eyeballs on your work, whether it's a book or it's video, but you are branding someone's work as a bestseller in a way that immediately allows you to have a conversation with a studio or network that is looking for content that sort of has a track record. And books are, I promise you, I know the people who run book rights departments at agencies, at studios, at production companies. They are busy, busy, busy people. 80% of all Academy Award-winning films, books. 50% of all movies that are made based on books, television, and so on. Books are gold.
Yeah, I challenge everybody, next time you're sitting in the theater and they play a preview, watch. It'll come out at you now. Now you're going to see that little clip before they introduce the movie that's like, based on the best-selling or based on the acclaimed book, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then it tells you, you know, this cool story that you want to watch, you know?
And you know what we do sometimes, when I used to represent writers and filmmakers, if I had an inexperienced screenwriter, we would recommend, let's go write the book first. So in one case in particular, you know, it was a $100 million movie, and I just know that is challenging to sell. Anything that's $100 million is probably going to be challenging to sell. So we went and we sold the graphic novel version of it to HarperCollins, and ultimately, then we took the book out in the same way we would have sort of taken that initial script out to the studios and networks, and it was a completely different conversation. So, yeah, books are key, and whether it used to be that it had to have a brand name sort of publisher, no longer. Everyone's looking for those sort of self-published books these days.
So that's good news to everybody that's out there, yes, that's an author that has a story. And the thing about it is that often we tend to think, okay, so now I've got to write some kind of really flight of fancy kind of story. But if you really think about it, some of the biggest, especially when you start talking about Academy Award winning and things like that, are things that are really more based in truth and reality, you know, our own personal stories, than they are something that, you know, is aliens in outer space.
I mean, the studios are doing aliens in outer space and superheroes over and over again, right? Because it's very risk averse. They're putting a lot of money into it. But most movies are not that. And most books that sell are not that. And there are many, 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 many different categories of books that are attractive. The key is it's got to be compelling content. It's got to just have a take on it, so you understand really where's the movie inside the book. If you read a novel, let's say The English Patient, I just use it, I don't know why, but maybe because I'm old. The novel is just, it's sweeping and gorgeous, and the movie is basically a fraction of the story, and yet it feels like a full movie. A book is not a movie. A short story is more like a movie, which again, your short reads, I think that makes a lot of sense. So whether it's a reality television series or a scripted television series or a movie, whatever it is, there is a way to find the movie in it, pitch it in a compelling way so you're speaking the language of the studios, package it so that they can actually create an entity out of it and show their bosses that it's viable, it's not just an idea, and then ultimately sell it within the context of how the entertainment industry works. And we actually help people with that. I have several clients who are authors, a lot of them who are writers and filmmakers, but also some who are authors who are literally trying to take their success in the publishing world and translate that to the entertainment industry.
We're going to talk more with Randy about success in the entertainment industry and how you can do it too, right after we come back from this commercial break. You're listening to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. I'm here with Randy Becker. We're talking about your story, and we're even sharing with you how you can find success with your story in the entertainment industry. So we've been talking kind of at the 50,000 foot level. This is sweepingly overall what works right in the entertainment industry. Let's dive down deep for a second. So a person has a book and they have aspirations of it becoming a movie, or they want to be an actor, or whatever thing lights them up in the entertainment industry. What are some practical things that a person should be doing in order to really be in the entertainment industry, but as you said earlier, producing your own entertainment career?
The first place to start, and it sounds hippy-dippy, but the first place to start is your goal. What are you trying to accomplish? If you were to wave a magic wand and say, 5 years from now, here's the career I want, and get very specific about it. And it's not, I want to do 75 different kind of things. But really, when we think of Martin Scorsese, we get it. He may do a lot of things, but we get who Martin Scorsese is. Or when we think of Stephen King, or whoever it may be, right? Who are you? Then we can start working our way backwards and figure out who you need in your network, who's making that kind of television and film. Really specifically, in the business that exists today, who are you going to need to be building relationships with? Then that takes you all the way today, and then you say, okay, here's the book that I have. Here's what I'm about. Here's sort of why I'm doing this, the direction I'm going. Now let's craft the strategy that is compelling, again, not to me because I want to sell this, but to those people you need in the entertainment industry. So if I am going to, say, a studio, I have a book about, I don't know, red shoes. I probably could come up with something better, but let's go red shoes. What does a studio need in order for them to be able to say yes to that book? A great idea, a great story, maybe that's enough. But these days, more often than not, It's the connectors. It's the people that not only legitimize what you're doing, but can execute what you have in mind and can add dollars and cents value to it. So what does value mean? And again, we're diving in deep, and then it starts getting wonky. But if it comes right down to it, a studio can sell or not sell a film based on usually the foreign marketplace, who's going to go see it, and in some cases, depending on genre, the domestic marketplace. And so that is going to determine for them what they need. The most important part of that equation is genre, meaning if it's a horror or a family movie with an elephant or a, you know, action movie, it's going to be immediately compelling to the foreign marketplace. But the second piece of that formula is cast. There are people, there are actors whose name will put butts in seats. You put Brad Pitt on a thriller, and you can go to a foreign sales agent and they can tell you what he's worth, what that movie is worth, because they have experiences, they have relationships with buyers and so on. So as you are thinking about your book, and you're thinking about, I want to make a movie of it, let's look at the mechanics of it, and how are you not putting out something that you think is great, but instead, how are you starting to address the needs of a person who writes a check? And the biggest need is, how do I get my money back? And so a studio is going to look at either, is there an opportunity for a Brad Pitt or a whatever it may be, right? Someone who has value. Is there a director on board who will attract that kind of an entity? Or do you already have that person on board? And if not, do you have the ability to get it? Well, that takes you back one more. Producers that have track records are probably much more likely to attract these big names than you are. So now, okay, here's another connector. Who's making these kind of movies with these kind of actors? Well, maybe instead of going to Paramount, why don't I first approach a production company or a producer that has enough weight that he or she is going to attract those assets that by the time the buyer sees it, it's a check writing opportunity. Well, how do we get to that producer? Within each company, there's a development department. And within each development department, there are executives, ranging from the creative executive, which is sort of at the bottom, to the, say, executive vice president of development, or the vice president of development, head of development, whatever it may be. You want to go as low as you can, often, if you don't know people, and find out, what do they need? What are they looking for? And that's not just the kind of content, but how does your project need to be packaged before you get there? Start building a relationship based on, how can I help you? How can I bring you content that makes you look good to your boss, that you can even sell? Really start with that initial doorway, which is a creative executive or a development executive at one of those companies that you're going to need as a connector in order to get to the studio or the network you want. And don't try and sell them anything. Just try and build that relationship. Get that information. Once you start getting that information, and you guys start building a relationship around the fact that you're trying to get information so you don't waste their time, now suddenly you can determine, all right, of these eight companies I need to build a relationship with, these two actually, this could be right for. So forget those other six. I'm gonna ruin my relationship if I send them something that's a waste. Let me get this to them in the way that they want. And they may say, well, you have to have a high-level director on board. Okay, good. Now I'm on a treasure hunt for a high-level director, and so on. So it starts with understanding, how is film and television financed? Then you go backwards one step, which is, well, what determines the ability to return that money? And usually it's genre, cast, then director, and way down is script. Although script gives you the ability to attract those assets. Then it's, okay, well, who are the connectors that allow me to get those assets on board? And then within those connectors, who are the executives that will be the doorways to bring material out? I hope that's somewhat clear, even if I'm speaking a bit of a different language.
Oh, no, it makes total sense. And I mean, great. The people that got it, that was like $1 million worth of advice.
And I'll expect, I'm going to invoice you after this call, after this interview.
I really appreciate that because, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people when they're writing their book, they're like, you know, I've always seen Denzel Washington playing this part, you know, or I want, you know, whoever playing the role of me in my life story. And it's not that that's not possible, but I love breaking it down to the practical of, okay, if that's really who you want, what steps does it take to actually get there? And are you willing to do step one, step two, step three, step 350,000, whatever?
It's about a career. It's got to be because most – Steven Spielberg brings stuff out and does not get it sold. I always say that, and I probably already said it today. You know, you have to think about building the relationships with the people along the way so that whether it's this one or the next one or the next one, you're starting to forge a path. And to have Denzel Washington in your movie, you have to think of Denzel Washington, let's say, as a dollar sign, let's for a moment, right, crass as it is. Everybody wants money, and Denzel Washington is as good as money because he has a inherent, specific, empirical value in the marketplace that a bank can write a loan for. I mean, it's that empirical. So if everybody wants Denzel, well then, how do you add value to Denzel? What's the value proposition that you're going to bring to them? And that is a combination of those connectors that he may want to work with, but also maybe it's a role that he would die to, you know, get a chance at. Who knows what it is, but what you guys do so well is that marketing narrative. You're going to have a marketing narrative for almost every transaction you have as you're putting together your project. Why is this of value to the person I'm reaching out to? On their terms, not what I think is of value, but go and find out what they're looking for and intersect with that.
Well, and you said something right at the very beginning of that last little bit that I think we often don't want to acknowledge in business. And that's the concept that this is not your last, only, or maybe even necessarily your best idea. I mean, if Steven Spielberg, with all of the hits he's done, brings a movie in and it doesn't see the light of day, you know, then obviously, especially if it's your first time in, you know, that may or may not necessarily be the one that gets bought. It's about not only learning the process, but also not being so sold on this absolute one script, this one book, this one idea that if it doesn't happen, then that's the end of your world. And, you know, you're never going to try again.
You have to be absolutely 100% sold on, if it doesn't happen, it's the end of the world, the career, not the individual project. Because if you are committed to where you want to head, the message, the change you want, the impact you want to have, the message, if you're committed in that kind of a do-or-die way, then each project is a means to that end. It's a means towards building relationships. It is a lifelong pursuit, and it takes long. I have had clients who have written 25 scripts before they sold any, and then now they sell 6 or 7. I mean, it is a floodgate. Other clients, it's the first one. But I can't think of any examples of people who haven't really committed to a life in the entertainment industry that have really become successful, aside from some lottery winners. I mean, it really takes a commitment, which means you have to understand why. Why are you doing it? Why do you want to put this into the entertainment industry? Because it's a big commitment. Does it help you change the world? Does it help you get your business out there? What is the real core reason? And if you can connect to that, then that'll drive you through the hard times. And if it's just, wouldn't it be cool? It's probably going to be a tough ride.
In the end, it is your passion that propels you.
Yes.
Your true depth core of the why of who you are and what you are for in this world that gets you through from where you are now to where you want to go. Because there will be highs, but there also will be lows. And if you're just doing something because, you know, last week it was really super popular, well, one thing I can guarantee you, and that's regardless of what industry you're in, is that just because everybody liked it yesterday does not mean they're going to like it tomorrow. Things change.
I agree. You chase the marketplace and you're dead. Yeah. Authenticity, passion, is key. I completely agree with you. Chasing the marketplace is a death knell. It's just not going to, it takes away what you have to bring, which is yourself. If you're looking to do what other people want, you don't have value as an artist or as a content creator. What your value is what you bring, and really connecting to that, and then go find the people that it's of value to. And it may be 75 people or maybe 75 million, but ultimately it's got to start with your why and your passion. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I completely agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Randy, I know that some of the people that are listening on varying different levels are interested in learning way more than what we can share with them here in just a show. What would a person need to do to connect with you and have you teach them in more detail how to really do this with excellence?
Well, I'll give you my email address because I love interacting with people personally. There's also, we have several programs where we really walk artists, authors, writers, filmmakers, actors through the process of going from sort of artist with hat in hand, you know, saying, hey, give me a job, to business owners who have something to offer of great value to the people they need to bring into their world. The one I think that's sort of our flagship is called Idea to Market Intensive. So if you go to ideatomarketintensive.com, you'll see sort of how we work with a combination of sort of really private consulting and then also a group atmosphere for the things that make sense to have a group for. And that is connecting with industry professionals, and we do these Q&As and interviews so you can ask them questions. Also, there's training that you don't need to do on your own. So a combination of that. So ideatomarketintensive.com is one of them. And then just email me, rbecker@nextTVEntertainment.com. So that's nextTVEntertainment.com. rbecker@nextTVEntertainment.com. And I'd gladly answer questions and connect. This is really, when we talk about our why, it took me a while, but this is my why. I love working with artists and entrepreneurs and just sort of finding people who are so passionate about what they do but just need help getting it out into the world. When I find success there with clients, that's what I'm about. I love it.
And just to be clear, it's ideatomarketintensive.com. That's the word two spelled out, T-O?
Correct.
And Randy,
and there's other programs. We have competitions at mynexttv.com, mynextv.com. We have all kinds of stuff. But that flagship program, I think, is, you can also sign up to get in touch with us there. And it's probably a good place to start.
Ideatomarketintensive.com, a great place for you to start, regardless of whether you have a story to tell. You know, maybe you even want to back a movie, whatever area you're going through, that's a good place for you to start. Well, Randy, I really appreciate you taking the time to share. I love how universal, regardless of the specific niche that a person's business is, that the basic foundation of business principles really are, and that we just have to follow them. We're not going to go out and invent a new method. We just need to realize we're in business and then do the business right.
I completely agree, and I love what you guys do. You bring practical and actionable and ways that actually work for business owners and for artists. And I mean, I love it. So I appreciate you bringing me onto the show. It's truly an honor. I mean it.
Well, thanks so much for being here with us today. Share your story. The world needs your story. There is so much impact that your story can have in the world. But the first thing you have to do is share it. We'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. that message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Often in life, because of the situations that life brings on us, we tend to define ourselves as things like trash or a mistake or things like that. And it's important for us to know that God doesn't make any junk, that we are all here for a reason. In order to help really celebrate that, I'm joined by Bridget Larray. Her book, the first in her series, The First to 33, One Woman's Journey from Trash to Treasure, talks about the first 13 years of her life. Bridget, thanks so much for joining us here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Now, Bridget, I know that there were some things in your story that are tough to share. Worse, of course, obviously, to go through. But I appreciated the way that you were able to interject into that, that you've come through that and are a champion in that, that you are a treasure.
Yes, I love the fact that God has done such a great work in my life to allow me to stand on my story and not in it. So I had to go through a lot of things that I went through so that I could be the woman that God predestined me to be, so other girls that may be going through the things that I went through can see me as tangible evidence that God does save and heal us, no matter where we come from.
A lot of people are, they have people in their life that are going through some things, and often we don't know it because those really deep scars, they're hard to shame, you know, they're very shameful and they're hard to share. I really appreciate how gut level honest you are in this book about some of the traumas that you went through in those early years of your life.
Yeah, Steve, you know what? The one way that the enemy keeps us from healing, from the healing power of God, is to keep us in bondage. And the bondage is shame, the embarrassment, and the guilt of our past and the things that we've done. But a lot of people don't recognize that everybody has a past. The very person or the people that you're trying to hide your past from and just crawl up under the dirt and hide like an ostrich, those same people have a past as well. So I believe that once we begin to own our past, that we will be unstoppable. Because what are we hiding? Who are we hiding from? And then why?
That is such a great way of looking at it. I really encourage a lot of people to get the book because of the fact that regardless of what your stuff is, you need to learn that it isn't trash, that you're not trash, that you are a treasure.
Yes, that's true. See, and we all have hidden treasures deep down inside of us. A lot of times when you're from the ghetto where I'm from, a lot of times you don't have people speaking life into you. I don't know if you heard that Jay-Z song, "It's a heart, not life. Instead of kisses, we get kicked. Instead of treats, we get tricked." Well, that's how it is in the ghetto. Like, you don't have people speaking life and encouraging you. You have friends and family saying, "You're going to end up just like your daddy. You're going to be just like your crackhead mama. You're going to be just like this. You're going to be just like that." And they're prophesying your future. And it only becomes true when you begin to believe it. So that's where it comes from. It starts with our belief or our unbelief.
I really encourage everybody to get this book. Read it and then share it with somebody that really needs to understand that there is a way out, that there is a plan and there is a purpose. I like how you said that about the fact that often the people that are around us aren't pouring into our lives the things that we really should have. And I appreciate that your book takes the time to really pour into some people's lives who maybe never have been told that they are a treasure. So, Bridget, if you were to share one thing with a person that's really gone through it, what would be the one piece of encouragement that you would like to share with them today?
I want to let them know to let your light shine as brightly as it wants to. We all have a light inside of us. And a lot of times we dim our light so that people around us can feel comfortable, because inside of us is it's great treasure, and we don't want to uncover our treasure, because then we won't be like our group of friends. We won't be like our family members. We'll be set apart. But it's okay to be different. And that's what I want to let everyone know. It's okay to be different and let your light shine no matter where you are, no matter who you're in front of. You be that light. You be the change in the world that you want to see. You do it. It's up to you.
One woman's journey from trash to treasure, the early years, part of the first 33 book series by Bridget Larrey. Bridget, thanks so much for taking the time to share with us this amazing book that is now a best-selling book.
I appreciate your time and your help with preparing me for the launch of the first 33 One Woman's Journey from Trash to Treasure, Volume 1, The Early Years. Volume 2, 3, and 4 is to come. And just let me tell you guys to look out for Volume 2, which is called The Untamable Teenage Years. Volume 3, The Promiscuous Girl. And Volume 4 is the Jesus Year, which is the 33rd year of my life. I call the Jesus Year. Mm. Thank you so much for having me, Steve. You have a great rest of your day.
Yeah. Get the book on Amazon.com right now. The first 33, One Woman's Journey from Trash to Treasure. As I said at the beginning of the show, you have a story. And your story is important, and it's impactful to the people in the world. You need to share what you've been through and the lessons that you've learned, because I guarantee you, that thing that you now do with grace and ease, there is somebody who's out there struggling, looking on the internet, wishing there was a solution to it. And it's our responsibility to share those, because remember, our story isn't about us. We're over at bestsellersguild.com. That'll take you to our free Facebook group that can help you learn how to share your story with the world, how to be impactful, and more than that, how to be a best-selling author. We love helping share people's stories with the world. In fact, Kathy and I actually have a goal to help over 1 million people over the course of the rest of our lives become best-selling authors. So feel free to join us over at bestsellersguild.com. And remember, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. The world needs for you to share your story and to be genuine and authentic so that we all can live in a better world. We hope that you have a great week. Know that Kathy and I are always here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.